This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, you will be introduced to the tools needed for a successful life. And you'll hear from a man who believes we could find immortality through science. You may love that idea, or you may take issue with it. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Well, sounds like we've got it covered today, but wouldn't it be great if you could just have a blood test to tell if you have cancer, any kind of cancer? Well, it may be happening.
That would be great for sure. Jay Cappadonia has the day off. Here today, burning up the airwaves with stories of wonder, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, a lot of us use our cell phones to wake us up in the morning, but I have a story about an alarming mobile phone feature you don't want to use.
Okay, let's get things started, and we're so glad you tuned in today. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2, and Jennifer, yeah, that blood test for cancer, that would be a spectacular thing if doctors could figure that out. Is science any closer?
I know. Actually, they are. It's a revolutionary kind of blood test that could detect any type of cancer, and it's being developed by British scientists. So far, so good. But can you imagine the implications? You get a blood test. Well, you got cancer. What kind of cancer? Well, we don't know. We got to look. We got to, you know,
right, more tests.
Right, but they're hoping they can use it to rule out cancer in patients with certain symptoms. That would save time preventing the need for biopsies. And if you've ever had a biopsy, you know how much fun that is. So they've had early results that show that this test can diagnose cancer and precancerous conditions from the blood of patients with melanoma, colon cancer, and lung cancer with pretty high accuracy. So here's how it works. It's called the Lymphocyte Genome Sensitivity Test. It'll be LGS test. It assesses your white blood cells, measures the damage caused to their DNA when they're subjected to different intensities of ultraviolet light. That's the key, is they shine the light on it. And they say there's a clear distinction between the damage to the white blood cells from patients with cancer, with precancerous conditions, and healthy patients. So there's some real hope for that in the future.
I like that. I mean, you do find out in a hurry. I mean, nobody ever wants to find out, hey, you know what? You've got cancer.
Oh,
but,
right.
But it's better to find out now, today, than it is to find out 2 years later.
Right. And so much is asymptomatic. You know, there's so many cancers that it's too late by the time you figure it out. So, you know.
Well, that's
it
good.
Might lead to more testing of things that you'd never think of, but least you know.
What were you thinking, you know, Chris? You had a question?
Well, she was talking about how sometimes it's too late, but it works the exact opposite way, too, where a lot of cancer, if you catch it early, it can be removed or cured as long as you catch it early on in the process.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So if this is as easy as a blood test, when you go in for your physical every year, you get that blood test and you find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. You remember, it was a little while ago, we were all up in arms. I was up in arms because I felt like a lab rat, like a guinea pig, because of what right. Facebook was doing. They were doing little psychological tests on us, and they didn't ask permission first. And has it happened again, only with another website?
Yeah, and this one is even more egregious, according to the expert who is me.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
And I think that maybe if Jay were here today, he would be up in arms about this. But this is dating website OkCupid revealing that it experimented on its users, including putting the wrong people together to see if they would connect. Like what would
on
happen?
On purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. They after that Facebook uproar. And OkCupid is saying, hey, if you use the internet, you're subject to hundreds of experiments at any given time on every site. That's how websites work. Okay. So OkCupid said one revelation that they learned, which anyone who's been on a dating website can tell you, that people just look at the picture.
Yeah.
They don't, they just look at the picture and they say, yep, that's the one for me.
You're physical attraction.
Yeah.
Leads to potential doom.
Exactly. But anyway, you can take a good picture, right? So OkCupid asks users questions and then they match them based on the answers, right? So in one experiment, they took pairs of bad matches between two people, like a 30% match, and told them they were exceptionally good, like 90%. And they found that when we tell people they're a good match, they act like they are, even when they should be wrong for each other. So they came clean. They later revealed the correct scores to the participants. No word on whether any of them, you know, were actually together and saying, wow, great to know we're 30% compatible after all that time.
Well, there's that whole you used to hear a lot, opposites attract. And so I would like to hear the results. Who knows if they stuck these 30%
well, I think
together
so.
And they stuck it
out. I think it's just the luck of the draw. You know, sometimes the opposites attract thing does work. But by the same token, I think I'm going to add a new slogan to our website. We will not do tests on you.
Right? Right, yeah.
So you
testing
go to,
free.
Go to philhewlettandfriends.com and poke around. There are all sorts of things over there. All right, Jen, so we often hear newspapers endorsing candidates for office and other candidates endorsing candidates for office. But here's an endorsement that perhaps the candidate didn't see coming.
Right. When can an
And the candidate apparently was so blown away by that endorsement. We're going to have to find out about it later. But let's, Chris, turn to you now.
Sure.
Because I use my phone to wake up. It's my alarm. It's my wake-up alarm.
I
every
still
morning.
Use an alarm. And it actually goes off to the radio. It goes off to FM radio.
Oh, not even AM.
No. No. Though you think it would be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's where I
one would think.
Make my living.
No. Blasphemy.
I know.
See? The truth comes out. Are you really on this team? Did we
100%.
Did we do a good background check
on this
guy?
You want me to tell you which station it is? I'll tell you.
No, I don't want you to tell me. All right, so tell me about this wake-up call on a phone.
So this story revolves around a 13-year-old girl, and she sleeps with her cell phone under her pillow, which used to be 13-year-old girls slept with teddy bears, but she sleeps with her cell phone. It's a Samsung S4, and this young lady woke up a couple of times during the night because her cell phone was getting warm under her pillow, like she had her hands under there. She didn't think much of it, so she just kept going back to sleep. Well, she woke up a third time, and her mattress and bed sheets burst into flames.
Oh, spontaneously?
Yeah, spontaneously combusted. I guess it was under there smoldering, like it was getting really hot, and the fabric from the bed sheets started
what
to...
What kind of phone was it, Chris?
It was a Samsung
S4. Please.
See, I wish I could say iPhone, because I know where
Come
she's
on.
Going with that
you
one.
You could start a gas station on fire with an iPhone. Don't kid yourself.
No, that's true, too.
Well, apparently the phone overheated, and what happens is the battery swells, and then the acid chews through. When it swells, it chews through the plastic and then caught the pillows on fire. So they went to Samsung, right? So they're thinking lawsuit. Well, they found out that there was a third-party battery inside the cell phone.
Uh-oh.
So they had got it off the...
Void the warranty.
Yes, instantly. Yep. Not a good idea. They also say don't cover up your electronic devices with flammable material.
And don't store your batteries wrapped in steel wool. Isn't that what you're supposed to...
Right.
You're not supposed to do that either, right?
I used to sleep with a transistor radio under my pillow. When
Me
I was
too.
Little. Yeah, wow. listen to tunes, man.
You're a geek too?
Yeah, totally.
Man. All right. Hey, are we ever going to find out about this endorsement thing?
Oh, I think so. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, how about if you're running for Congress and a strip club endorses you?
Uh-oh. That could be bad.
It could be, but the candidate, the Reverend Jarrett Maupin,
oh, wow.
says he's happy to have the support of the Great Alaskan Bush Company of Phoenix.
That's the name of the club?
Yep.
Well, that sounds like a great club.
I know, right? So they recently
Patriotic.
Announced their. I know they recently announced their endorsement. And Maupin, who calls himself a member of the Progressive Christian Coalition, says employees voted to back him because he supports affordable student loans and all day kindergarten. I think maybe the girls in the club like this idea because student loans, all day kindergarten. You know, maybe they have a kid.
Where
who
are you
knows?
Put, but, where are you going to put the kids all day?
I know, right? So he's running. Close race for the 7th district seat against three other Democrats to replace a longtime representative, but he can't actually vote for himself because he was convicted in 2009 of lying to the FBI. So you think he's got a shot?
Yeah, sounds like it. First of all, these girls are all working in there because they're working their way through school. That's a known fact. And pretty interesting this guy hits the trifecta. He is a reverend running for politics being backed by a strip club. That's unheard of.
And a convicted felon.
It can't get any better. He's got every point covered. Hey, last year, Chubby Checker, you know who that is? He's the guy that did the twist, right? The man behind the twist? He sued the makers of a mobile app called the Chubby Checker, which claimed to estimate the size of a man's penis. based on his shoe size. Figured I'd go directly to this from the strip club story.
There's an app for
the
that?
Chubby Checker. I get it.
He was asking for $500 million in damages. Now Chubby has settled out of court. The terms have not been disclosed, but the app hasn't been available for purchase since the lawsuit filed. And it's probably a safe bet Chubby didn't get anywhere near the $500 million he was asking for, because the app only sold 84 downloads in the 2 years it was available at 99 cents a pop. That's a whopping $83.16 operation right there.
But I'll bet he got at least 70% of that. Is The Twist the only famous song that Chubby Checker put out? Was there any other popular songs that he did?
Let's Twist Again.
Oh, there you go. Forgot about the remake.
Hey, up next, some more show fun activity with Chris. You won't believe what's swimming right up to shore at the beach a little bit north of us. And we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more next, when we return on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Are you kidding me? We're back already here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Every weekday afternoon at 2 here on KFWB News Talk 980, I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. Jay Capadonia has the day off. Chris Martin is in the studio, and we forge ahead later in the program. Zoltan Istvan is a transhumanist and a futurist, and we haven't a clue what that means, but it has something to do with immortality through science. And this is a guy, I got to tell you, he's done something I don't think any of us would survive.
Being named Zoltan?
Aside from that, yeah, he's that toughened him up a little bit. He's actually surfed a volcano.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to let him describe what that means, but obviously he survived to talk about it. That's not what the interview's about, but to give you an idea what kind of a guy we're going to have later on in the program and more on today's program. Just an interesting show about today, it seems, bettering yourself. Sometimes nature offers just a little boost in your day. You get to see something you don't get to see all that often, if ever, in your lifetime, Chris. And something's happening up north, right along the coast. What is it?
Yes, there's whales up there. Jen, do you like to go whale watching? You do.
Well, you know, I do. I do, but I have, let's just say I have issues with it.
You get seasick?
I don't like it.
Seasick?
No, I don't get seasick. I just don't like it when they chase the whales down. I know it's illegal to do it in California to actually follow the whales.
Oh.
But in other states and other, like if you go in Mexico or Hawaii, sometimes it's just,
Yeah, here you're supposed to go out and park in the whale lanes, whatever they call
right,
them.
Right, and let them come
and
to
wait,
you.
Yeah.
You can't chum for them.
Yeah.
Well,
I just kind of like it when I see them out there just haphazardly, not when I'm on a trip looking for them.
That's what you would see if we were up at Monterey Bay right now. You want to jump in the car and take a ride?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, so what's going on, Chris?
There's a bunch of humpback whales out there. There's like 10 or 12 of them, a dozen of these guys, huge ones. They're within like 50 yards of the shore. They're lunge feeding on these huge schools of anchovies. We were talking about these a little while back. Kind of a cool shot from the air, too, if somebody would take a drone over there. It'd be a great shot.
Lunge feeding?
Yeah, lunge feeding is where they come up from underneath and they open their mouth and they just swim straight up to the surface of the ocean and they catch as many anchovies in their mouth as they can and they just bob up and down like a bobber.
Wow.
So pretty cool view from the shore. And I really wanted to pitch this because there's some photos of this that I was pushing Phil to put on the fun page.
The show fun page.
PhilHewlettAndFriends.com, because it's just so fun to see these majestic creatures so close.
Well, you didn't
to shore.
Have to push too hard because there is just an amazing photo of a do you call this a breach? It's actually face up, this enormous mammal, and it doesn't look like it's more than maybe 25 yards from the shore. And here's a lady with her dog and her hands over her mouth, like, oh my God, look at that. If it gets any closer, it's going to eat me alive.
Well, how do we know if it's breaching or lunge feeding? That's a new thing I've learned today, Chris.
Yeah, but and there, we have a link to more photos as well. So it's just some pretty spectacular stuff. So thanks for introducing us to that.
Sure.
You know what? We want to make the most out of life. And based on the average life expectancy here in the United States, if you're 18 years old, little tidbit for you, you only have about 3,160 weekends left in your life, so get busy. If you're 40, you only have about 2,015 weekends left. So how's you put that in your planner and work that out? You got to make the most out of your weekends. So I don't have the number for 50 yet, but if it follows the logic from 18 to 40, we lost about 1,100 weekends, and so we're probably going to drop another 200 or 300. So I don't know, 1,700 weekends left? Make your plans.
What life expectancy are they using on that? 80 years old?
Based on the average life expectancy, I think for men it's, is it 78, 79, something
it's
like
70
that?
70-something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For women it's a year and a half older than that, maybe.
Yeah.
Because after we go, you have to have something to complain about. What?
Women do live longer. It's true.
Yeah, they do.
Proven statistic.
All right, now there was a street fight, Jennifer, going on. And this lady jumped out of nowhere, and she had perhaps the best ninja move ever.
But this is a great one.
But we're on to her now.
Yeah, it's a great distraction technique when there's a fight going on and you want to kind of take part. This happened near Pittsburgh. Nude from the waist up, just a topless lady jumps in and starts wailing away during a street fight in Hayes Manor, if you know where that is, near Pittsburgh. Slashed or stabbed three people, then just ran away before they knew what was going on. Now, the police say the fight was over a love triangle. Now, remember, this lady slashed three people.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't her. It wasn't her triangle.
No, none of them know who this topless woman was or why she got involved.
All right, so let me reconstruct this. So these three people are having a fight. It's like fist fight. Ooh, fight, and then breasts. Oh, knives.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. two of the three victims that ran into this topless lady had to be taken to the hospital, and they are actually looking at surveillance video to try to ID the woman because, oddly enough, no one who was right there, right up close and personal, was really looking at her face.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to throw this out there, but let's say this is a new superhero. What about that?
Superpowers?
Oh.
Yeah, that's her superpower. She comes in, she sees people in need, she comes wielding knives and shirtless to distract the villains, and then she comes in and saves the day.
Start casting the movie now.
I tried to think of a good name.
It's a good theory, but I don't know of any superheroes that stab people and send them to the hospital.
True. It was more than likely a villain in this case.
And more than
likely going to jail when she gets caught. In fact, we do have a story about jail, but in this case, it's somebody that, perhaps shouldn't have been there in the first place, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Phil, you're absolutely right. Now, listen, we hear these
stories like we did in rehearsal.
Yeah.
Great one, Chris.
We hear these stories a lot, but I want to explore it with you guys. Thank you for my fantastic transition.
See, you promised to carry the water for Jay while he's not here.
And nobody can carry Jay's water.
No?
No.
Jay's got a lot of water.
He's retaining.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Have you seen his ankles? My goodness. Anyway, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah. In Connecticut, a man is getting ready for a court hearing today, and he's going to see a judge about compensation. Why? Because he was placed in prison for 21 years for a crime he didn't commit. So he went in at 18. Now he's 39. And while inside, he said he witnessed and experienced prison violence, including losing a finger. Doesn't explain how he lost a finger.
Oh boy.
But I'm curious. Now, what I want to know from you guys is, what's a fair compensation for losing 21 years of your life in prison?
For him, that's more than half by the time he's done.
I mean, you've got little or no chance unless you write a book and you do the tour circuit and all of that thing. And I do recommend that's the way he goes, because you're probably not prepared for whatever today's job market is and technology and all of that. You're probably not prepared for the social experience out there. So the likelihood of a lasting love relationship is low. All of these things in normal life are going to be diminished.
Yeah, so you would look at livelihood, lost wages, and you would have to look at how smart of a guy he was, and was he headed for college, and maybe base his career prospect at the time on what he may have been capable of, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's claiming. He says, "Look,
it's a lot of math.
I lost my ability to learn a trade. I lost my ability to earn a living, to earn an education, to get married. All of these things." So he's asking for $5 to $8 million. He's 39 years old, so he's got another 30 or 40 years left in him. That seems fair, right?
That seems, I would ask for more than that, but
you'd
that
think,
seems
right?
Totally fair. Yeah.
And more would seem fair, too. But the judge says that he does not object to the request. Mm-hmm. So this is all part of a modern DNA test thing that state programs are doing to try to set innocent people free. Now, listen, they're confirming more crimes than letting people go or overturning. But
hey, on July 29th, and you know what that means. Stores should be fully stocked with their back-to-school stuff. But Costco says, never mind that. A photo has surfaced from a Costco that's already stocking its Halloween stuff.
Oh, at least it's not Christmas already.
Yeah, we don't know which Costco this is, but if you happen to go to a Costco and you see Halloween stuff, buy it now. By October, they'll probably be stocking for Valentine's Day.
They just skipped right over Labor Day.
They did. But see, that's the way they do it. They get it in bulk and they get it early. That's how we save money. Hey, do we have people skills? The kind of skills to make friends and influence people, to coin a phrase. Up next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, time-proven techniques for building a happier, better, more successful life. Now what would you pay? It's free and it's right here. Next on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a Facebook page. Go like it. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. And also we're on Twitter at As We See It Show. We all want to get better. We all want to make friends, influence people, do better at work. It all depends what kind of tools we have. We have tools sometimes we don't even know we have, because they're all the way down at the bottom of the tool chest, right? Can't get to them. Joining us live is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, People Tools, Alan C. Fox. Alan, a pleasure to speak with you, and we're looking forward to bettering ourselves in the next 5 or so minutes. You talk about the tools people need to thrive in life and be more successful. So what are the basic tools in the box?
Well, one basic tool is a smiley face. Put on a smile. I used to think that we smile because we're happy. Research indicates that when you smile, you become happier. Smiling is a very good tool.
So just do it all the time. Work on those muscles so that your face gets stuck in a smile position and everything's going to get better. You also talk about another tool, and it's the belt buckle. Now, when I think of the belt buckle, that more or less, that tells me when to stop eating, when that thing starts to starts to dig in a little bit.
Okay. No, belt buckle is this. You know, an All-American defensive college football player said, "I only watch the ball carrier's belt buckle because that's where he's going." And I take that to mean when people say one thing and do another, I believe what they do. I believe actions if they are different than words. So if you watch what you do and believe that, you know, my belt buckle, believe me, when I go to a buffet, it's getting 3 or 4 dinner plates and I don't go to buffets.
Right.
So my belt buckle is that, even though I say I'm going to cut back this time.
Yeah. All right. So you have to develop a relationship with somebody long enough to see if they're going to back up what they talk about, because you don't always see the works of an individual immediately. So you're talking about building relationships, aren't you?
Absolutely, which I think is key in life. Your relationships are what help you out and feel good, whether it's a spouse, family, friends, work. Relationships are absolutely the key, Phil.
So do you move on when you sense the hot air?
Absolutely. You bet. I don't have one person in my life who is particularly unreliable or toxic or a downer. I just don't tolerate them in my life.
You hear a lot of motivational speakers talk about upgrading your friends. Is that necessarily something you espouse?
Well, it depends on your friends. I don't have friends that I need to upgrade, but I'm always looking for friends who I haven't met yet.
Yeah.
How do you cut the cord with a friend that might be toxic? Is it something you should just be outright honest about and tell them how it is?
I would. Sometimes you don't have to talk to them at all and they just fade away. But if you have to talk to them, absolutely be honest, be kind. And you say something nice, it's really been nice knowing you for, the last 2 years. And, I'm moving on. And if they really want to know why, I would tell them, and then help them. Maybe next time they'll be able to do better with somebody else.
Or you do the way the fast food restaurants do when they want to fire somebody. They just stop scheduling them so that they quit.
Right. The easy way out. And that's a hard conversation to have with somebody, though, and you just have a friend and you feel like such a bad person when you're sort of ditching someone that you think might need you, but they just always pull everybody down. I mean, how do you differentiate between just being a jerk and being, a healthy person?
Well, I look at it differently. I'm coming out with a book in September called People Tools for Business. And I have a chapter, Ready, Aim, and then, fire. And I say, because I fired a lot of people in my business, and it's tough to do, but if you look at it as helping them to find a place where they belong. I fired a secretary once. A year and a half later, I met her. She says, I'm working for the attorney in the penthouse, and he thinks I'm the best secretary he ever had. She clearly found a better position for herself. So if you think of yourself as helping them to get where they should be, it makes it easier for both of you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And going back to the other point, though, where you're honest with somebody or not. I mean, you tell them, it's not me, it's you. You'd be better off without me. No, maybe you don't tell them that. But you also talk about something called nonversation. We deserve an explanation. What is that?
Sure. Well, for years and years, I've had enough discussions with my wife, where she tells me I'm wrong and she didn't do it and all that stuff. So I started having a nonversation. Either way, she can say to me, Alan, somebody wants you to, I want to talk to you about, I just want to talk. I don't want any answers. It's a nonversation. It's a monologue. And then that allows me to really listen and hear what she has to say. And then the next day or a few days later, we can talk about it. But that way I can just hear her. I don't have to defend. She doesn't expect me to explain or to apologize or to promise to amend.
Oh, so she's got to buy into this strategy as well.
Well, yes, that's true. Both people have to buy into it.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Bill.
Right, okay. And again, the book that's out now, People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity by Alan C. Fox, is in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Why is life like archery?
Well, that's target practice, and we can all shoot like William Tell did at a small target, an apple on his son's head, or you can make your target as large as a barn door. I had a friend once who wanted a woman who was exactly 5'4" tall, and he had his list of requirements. Well, he eventually married someone who didn't meet very many of them, but he was happy with her. So I say, make your target, what you're going for, as broad as you possibly can, and you might be very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Big target. And so we like to be optimistic in life as well. We look at the bright side. But you have a little bit of a new take on that as well, don't you?
Yes. It's that one is shrink the glass. The glass, is it half full or half empty? I say get a smaller glass so your glass is always full. And I also say life is full of self-fulfilling prophecies. I'm sitting at my desk one night, 10 at night, oh, gosh, I have to leave. I won't be able to finish this. I'm going to be too tired. I said, Alan, stop that. Just work on it as long as you can, because if I say I can't do it, I'm going to be right. If I say I can do it, I might be right. I'd rather finish the task and be successful than be right by telling myself I'm going to fail. I can predict failure 10 times out of 10, and I'm always right.
What do you say to the person who has, a half dozen to a dozen glasses on the table and the lights are all out and they reach for the one that they want to work on next and they knock three or four onto the ground?
I say, work on the one that's most important to you. You can only work on one thing at a time.
Wow.
Get a broom and clean it up.
There you go. It's your dad creeping into your life again there,
right,
Chris.
Look at this mess you made. Just knocked over four glasses. What's wrong with you?
All right. And if there's one tip that you would focus on if people just want to start working on the joy in their life, how do you create joy?
I say you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to get people to love me. And I read books and articles. I found one sentence in one book. It said, if you want someone to love you, love them first. Love other people, care about them, and just give of yourself. It will come back many times over and really provide a lot of joy in your life.
Good advice, and we're going to check out your book with the you even have a quote from Bill Cosby on the front. That's good stuff right there.
Yep.
People Tools, Alan C. Fox. Thank you, sir. Pleasure to speak with you, and I'm smiling.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, there he goes. There. See, don't you feel better now, Jennifer?
I do. You smile and the world follows, right?
I knew you needed a little pick-me-up.
And it is a good idea to love someone before you sit them down and have that conversation where you tell them you can't be friends with them anymore. Now, go on, kid.
speaking of a pick-me-up, Jennifer, you know that I'm one of those people that isn't all that great at choosing wine at a restaurant. I'm not really up to speed on it. I don't know what it should cost.
I'm not very good either.
I don't know how to pair all of that stuff.
Yeah, I always ask the guy, you know, or the lady who's serving just for recommendations.
Well, look at this. There's a new iPhone app designed for everyone like us who has trouble ordering wine. It's called Wine Glass, and it's actually pretty brilliant. You take a photo of the restaurant's wine list using the app, and it uses character recognition to identify all the wines that are being offered. Then it tells you what they should cost, what foods they should be paired with, and what kinds of reviews they get. And the app is $5, obviously, you know, high end as far as apps go, but you could put a price on, I don't know, is there really a good price to put on tricking people into thinking you're sophisticated about wine? I think that's a pretty good deal.
Or how about just not getting stuck with a stinker? that's more my concern. Yes. I don't want to get the stinky glass of wine.
Here, how about this bottle of vinegar? That'll be perfect.
Ugh.
Hey, Socrates wisely said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Our next guest has lived quite a life, and perhaps he's tapped into the key to immortality. What do you think of that? And you'll hear from him next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for checking in. It's As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. So is Chris Martin. Jay Campidonia has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. The idea of living forever intrigues mankind. It always has. Immortality has a ring to it, doesn't it? Think of all the things you could get done. Or nothing at all, because time would no longer be an incentive. Our next guest has explored more than 100 countries as a journalist for National Geographic, writing, filming. His work has been featured on all the major TV networks and more. He's syndicated in print several times. His latest book is called The Transhumanist Wager. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Joining us now live is futurist, transhumanist, Zoltan Itzvan. Zoltan, nice to talk with you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What's a transhumanist?
Well, a transhumanist is really just somebody who wants to use science and technology to radically advance the human being and advance the human experience. Transhuman literally means beyond human.
All right. So are we talking about immortality or just extending and improving life here?
Well, you know, it's hard to talk about, at least in the 21st century, without talking about both of them at the same time, because we really are, the science, the life extension science, is really getting close. Many experts believe within 15 or 20 years, we'll probably nail down the science that we need so that human beings can live indefinitely. Now, of course, immortality is a funny word. It's hard to know if one would ever live forever. But, you know, the idea that we could live thousands of years is certainly right around the corner for the human species.
All right. So I want to talk about these leads. If you say that we're within 20 years of hitting on something good, are you talking about something that's the active science community is working on specifically, or is it a collective of advances like bionics, robotics, genetics as a means to an end?
So there's a number of different things going on. For example, Google started its company called Calico recently, which is essentially a company dedicated with hundreds of millions of dollars to aging. But then there's some nonprofits like SENS Research that are specifically working on how to literally stop aging and make it so that, you know, you don't die from diseases and stuff like that. But basically all this science, and again, this it's all PhDs, it's academics, there's, you know, hundreds of universities around the world right now that are tackling, you know, very similar gerontology type of issues. And they're all trying to work for one specific cause, which is really to get us to live to around 150 or longer than that. And of course, once we get 20, 30 years into the future, science is going to improve exponentially so much more that it could easily become indefinite from that point on.
Are there a bunch of things working at the same time? First of all, we know that our life expectancy has grown by leaps and bounds in the last 100 years. And most of that is thank you to medicine and to science because of the fact that we've been able to treat and cure certain diseases, eradicate certain diseases. But are there some other things, environmental things happening where a lot of, at least in this country, it's the same is true in other countries where couples are putting off having children until their late 30s, sometimes their early to middle 40s. Are we somehow changing our DNA to extend that life without the science, just by a matter of our lifestyle?
Well, I think most scientists would say no, but you know, there's so much in the universe that's psychosomatic. So I think by a huge amount of people thinking, hey, you know,
we're having a little bit of an issue having Zoltan on the line. We're going to get him back here in a moment because I want to explore something that he's done that you will not believe until he explains it. But it's an interesting conversation to have already. Look at us, Jennifer. I'm going to say, look at me, a man of my age, and I'm thinking, in my head, I think I'm 20-something, but I'm in my 50s. And I think...
I want to know, is it too late for us? Is this whole 20 years thing, like, in 20 years from now, are we too old to benefit from this immortality?
I think we have Zoltan back. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Modern technology. We might outlive it.
No, but I'd be happy to, you know, finish that question. The bottom line is that we're changing how we think. We've learned in the last 20 years that our brains are very plastic. And yeah, so there is certainly some psychosomatic stuff going on. But really, it's just a matter of biology and of chemistry. You know, scientists are figuring out just through vitamins and the basics and also bionics and augmentation. You know, artificial hearts. Everyone will probably have an artificial heart within 15 years. It's the number one killer in America, and it's going to be in about 7 to 10 years, artificial hearts will be better than human hearts. So that's just an example of kind of transhuman technology and also life extension technology and how people plan to live at least so much longer and, you know, hopefully indefinitely.
Well, I sure hope you could just buy those in bulk at the Costco because that would make it a lot easier for a lot of folks.
Family pack.
Yeah, there you go. Let's all jump in the minivan. Let's get some of those.
Swap them out, man.
We're speaking with transhumanist, futurist Zoltan Itzvan, and you've done some things that could have ended your journey toward immortality in a second. And I know this interview is not about this specifically, but it's relevant to the pursuit, I think. What in the world is volcano surfing?
Sure. No, and you know, what makes transhumanism so attractive is that people love life, and that's why they want to live longer. And so volcano boarding sort of falls into that same category, even if it seems sort of like a death wish sport. But I was working for the National Geographic Channel. I went to the South Pacific island of Vanuatu, and there's this volcano that is huge, and it has this like double black diamond slope of pumice. And if you're a snowboarder or a skier and you see it, you know you got to carve down it because it's the perfect slope. So I got a permission to go do a film project on it, and it was a great couple of days of just going up and down the volcano and going, you know, essentially snowboarding down it, but it's really volcano boarding. And the thing that makes it so dangerous is that there is lava bombs on occasion flying over your head and landing on the face. And if they hit you, they will literally go right through you because they're, you know, they're molten rock. And in fact, three people have died in the last decade.
Oh, good. It's like a game of Mario Brothers. It does not sound healthy. In fact, if you forget to stop, you become a diamond. Never mind that it's a black diamond trail. All right. Here's the challenge with significantly extending human life. What do we do then? We need to colonize another planet in a hurry because nobody dies. It's going to get crowded.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, that is one of the biggest challenges. But the reality is that if we would be better at using our resources and, you know, have more peace and try to feed people, you know, in a way that wasn't so one-sided sometimes to either the super rich or to the super poor, we could easily balance a world with 10 billion people, 15 billion people. And then there's this whole other crazy concept of transhumanism, which is, you know, once artificial intelligence arrives, which is being in about 10 or 15 years, people might start doing things such as mind uploading, where you will upload your mind into a computer, and then that's where you will live. And already they have interfaces going on. Already they have telepathy types of headsets that you can wear. You know, companies are doing this in Silicon Valley. So it's really not that far-fetched. The point, though, is if you live in a computer, you're not going to use that many resources. So there are a lot of different things like that could happen.
I could talk to you for an hour, but we don't have that kind of time, and I feel like I need to talk to you again before you do something stupid. But but just the same, it's been enjoyable talking with you today. And again, want to tell everybody that the book, the tell me the name of the book again, because I just forgot what it's called.
Sure. It's The Transhumanist Wager.
And it's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go check it out. Zoltan? It's fine. Thank you very much. And you stay safe out there, will you? We're going to be around on this planet for another 50 years or so, and we need you to stay healthy to keep talking about this stuff.
I will, Phil. Thanks so much for the interview.
There he goes. Great to talk to him, huh?
I bet he's Hungarian.
You think so?
Well, I have an uncle. My family comes from Hungarian descent, and I have an uncle named Zoltan. He changed his name to Frank, but he was born.
Is that what? From Zoltan to Frank.
Yeah.
From Zoltan to, there's no connection there.
You needed
there?
Something a little more socially acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's going to just about do it for today. We have another program tomorrow, and I think we're going to be in a giddy mood, or we're going to all hate each other. You ever have a photo session? You ever go to Sears or JCPenney?
Oh, it's picture day.
You have one of those family. Yeah, you have one of those family photos, and it ends up on a website because the people that work at the JCPenney gave it to that, you know, that website that embarrassing photos show up. Embarrassing family photos. I think we're going to pull off.
Photos.
Yeah, we're
going to
awkward. We're going to have awkward times together tomorrow, and we'll talk about them here. When we return,
are we going to kiss? We're going to do one of those?
Hey, our email address is feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com. Mike Starks, our executive producer. Brooke Peterson, our producer. Production assistant Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. None of those people will be in the picture, sadly.
Oh, no.
That might be awkward. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It. Smile with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.